Quick show of hands. How many people think we're going to get over 100 complaints today for the show we just did?
100? That's pretty light on.
Really. Hold on, you have a look at it. There was the Indian accent that the moon did. There was that. That's got to be a good 40.
It really, is that the volume?
And then there was the Spanish accent who did, claiming that Nadal was having his groin rubbed
by
somebody.
Yeah, but that was kind of cute.
It was bang on too. Really
if you accurate. Were doing Manu from, like with a French accent, I think I'd be okay with that one too.
Hold on, let's go back to the amount of complaints. Like how many complaints do they feel today?
For you?
Yeah, it's so like, it used to be nil to five. It's now up to 100.
Yeah, upwards.
Yeah. Today could be
I
the first
I think the Deadpool
one.
Is
Deadpool,
still...
Deadpool came
We've
out.
Been meaning to talk to you about it, but if we just do it quietly, we shouldn't do it in this forum, but, mate.
Seriously, 100 people would call in.
Yeah.
Only because of you. That's not a popularity thing. That's complaints.
We that discovered is... there's an ombudsman for this stuff.
No, somebody rang and said, well, I'm complaining to the ombudsman. There is no ombudsman, mate. Isn't just it? Go and there might
no,
be a,
the, no, there might
a
be.
Bread what is ombudsman.
The Australian
Radio
Statistics.
Hmm. Paul Hogan found himself on a list with Don Burke and Craig McLaughlin today.
He's
you're going to find out what all that
to
was
complain.
About.
Neil Diamond's going to complain because you want to kill him off. Like, you blokes, fair to come. Fair enough, he was all.
No respect.
Then you're talking respect. About that poo ball falling out of the plane.
Well, that was you.
Well, yeah, well, they
yeah,
don't know who's talking
to the
right
table.
Now, do they?
Enjoy the catch-up. The Deadpool.
Come on, Moon, this is yours. You can own it.
Okay, I am going to own it because I've come under fire. I've created a controversy for what is an age-old media game. Newspapers used to do this at the beginning of the year. All the journos would write down a list of who they think were going to die that year, which celebrities and famous people, politicians, members of the royal family.
Need to be ready. Need to be organised.
And those, because they, of course, Marto, they would have obituaries written or packages, and of course, even TV shows or TV stations have them now already for the people that they think are going to die so they can slot them into the news. And of course, at the end of the year, those with the most dead on their Deadpool list win the prize pool. You can have a bit of a punt. You can do a little bit of a Calcutta in your office if you like. And people have said that it's poor taste.
Well,
my defence
is
that no, we're not wishing anyone dead.
No.
We're just, well, you know, this fingers crossed if you're going to scoop the pool. But what we're doing is we will grieve and we will, you know, suitable. Mark a loss. But we'll also think, well, I picked that. And that it's not a bleak thing. It's actually finding a little bit of fun in death, if you will. And so we've got our lists. We have to finalise our five by Feb the 1st.
Oh, I've got our, six.
These are our lists so far. Marto's had a few changes. He's dropped the Queen out and put Jimmy Carter in. But currently, Marto, you have got six. Ozzy Osbourne, Bob Hawke, Duke of Edinburgh, Rolf Harris, Jimmy Carter, and Tommy Radonikis is in new. There.
Yeah, well, that neck cancer, that's a terrible thing. And Jimmy Carter, he's denied that he's got brain cancer, but he's in his 90s, and I can
Hang
see
on, Jimmy Carter, Jimmy Carter, as in the 39th
former president
of the
United
US
States.
President,
39th
Jimmy Carter.
President. He's Followed denying. When they're really strongly denying, it means...
What about that evangelist? Wasn't someone going to take him to? Billy Graham.
Billy Graham is 99, so, you know, and he is on the phone to God quite often. Robin.
Is Rolf Harris out of jail?
Yes, he is out of jail, but there are charges pending.
All right, well, I've got until the 1st of Feb to drop one of them. It's okay. Let me go through it. What do you got, Rob?
Hopefully you'll go into jail and get shivved. Anyway, Robin, what have you got there?
For Donald it? Trump. Robert Mugabe. I mean, I'm going for the assassinations on these. Pete Evans, which is a little harsh, but a girlfriend.
Assassination or?
No. A girlfriend nominated because she was sick of the paleo.
Have you seen him on the ad?
He's too thin.
Yeah. Well, he's thin,
I mean,
but he's looking healthy.
Looking
a bad flu could take him out.
No, yeah, well, true. Kurt Douglas, because again, he's 99 in the shade. Mm. And his plastic surgeon needs to go too. He's awful.
Oh, wow.
Betty White.
She'll outlive religion.
Yeah, she really will. And
but you've also thrown in another one there.
Only because I saw a photo in Women's Day on New Idea of Molly Meldrum recently, and I thought, oh my.
God,
yeah.
He
just wasn't looking good.
Molly was lucky to
survive
the fall off the ladder a few years ago. So you've got six as well, so one needs to come off.
We've got a few days to trim it down to five, haven't we?
I think I'll lose Molly because I like him.
I've got Keith Richards,
yeah, good one.
David Attenborough, oof. Kim Jong-un.
Oof. Well, you're going in assassination as well.
Or a bombing. I mean, they might wipe the country off the map.
A backfiring of a rocket may go the wrong way. And
the rest of us.
Goodness.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
Hit me right in the binoculars.
Rogue. Yeah, he's just watching it. He watches it go up at the end of that runway and then, oh, that's... No, I'm not going to do another accent today.
It'd be like Wile E. Coyote in an Acme rocket.
That is getting very gross. No, Barry Humphries.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you said Val Kilmer too.
Yeah, but I've dropped Val and I've put Bill Cosby in.
I think
doing stand-up comedy last night.
I think we're all fingers crossed on that one.
Okay. Yeah, keep going.
That is it. Brendo's got his... Sorry, go on.
Harry Belafonte, you might know his work from this.
Assassination.
Yep, he wrote that song. We're all sick of it.
Chicken Bone, maybe.
Mel Brooks.
Chicken Bone. What a great one.
Ironic death list.
Comedy duo. Ironic.
If Harry Belafonte slipped on a banana peel whilst eating some chicken and choked on a chicken bone, double irony. Come, Mr. Tullyman, tully me banana.
Nice.
We can only hope. Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, comedy duo. They hang out a lot together, so I think if one falls off
one
the perch, both will.
Oh, okay.
So like 2-for-1 there. George Bush Sr., he's still alive.
Good one.
Dead this year, I reckon. And Murder, She Wrote, Angela Lansbury is going to pass away.
Wouldn't it be ironic if she got murdered?
Yeah.
Sad and horrible, but...
And I want to give you a round of applause, all of you boys in the studio, for not including Neil Diamond, because he, of course, hit the news overnight. And
now, our producer... Scott Menz has named a couple too. He said Rupert Murdoch will probably go. Scotty, who else have you nominated?
Thank you for naming me too, Moon. That's great. I called Rupert Murdoch early. I called that
and
in December.
And here's your address.
thank you. Mobile phone number. Neil Diamond, I want to say, and this put this on record, Brendo, 109 yesterday. Yep. I mailed that through once I got the alert from Courier Mail that he's retiring.
Right. What do you know?
I will now bring down a ruling. You can't put someone on the Deadpool list if they've just been reported as seriously ill. If you can go and find someone who's got, you know, some terrible disease. Sorry. but you can't go, he was reported yesterday as having Parkinson's. He's cancelled his concert. I'm whacking him on. I just don't think that's...
Okay.
And also, you can't...
It's not in the spirit of the game.
Well, if somebody booked on Malaysian Airs flight, you can't go, hold on, I'm putting him on the list.
No, you can't.
No, you can't do that.
No, you can't.
Right. Well, we've missed one with Neil. It's gone through to the keeper, that one. So that's just unfortunate.
Neil's gone. So,
for everyone.
And also, he's really nice.
Probably mostly Neil.
I don't want him on any list.
I love Neil.
Yeah, me too. Neil doesn't go on a list.
For those of you playing at home, the rules are that the death needs to be reported in the Courier Mail.
And if you've got a complaint, send it to the Ombudsman.
Correct.
If you've got a complaint, there is one. But
if you've got a complaint, join the queue because it is stringing down North Quay.
TripleM.com.au is where you go to enter your Deadpool list. It's the Big Breakfast.
Righto, the Big Breakfast Crime Squad has only been formed this year. They're calling it Starsky and Hutch of 2018.
Who's calling it that?
Who's calling it that?
I just wrote that down. Do you remember Starsky and Hutch? You weren't even born, were you?
Yeah, hello, what am I?
There's four of us.
You're Cagney and Lacey.
Yes.
Excellent, thank you.
All right, the Crime Squad, we've had some success.
Yes, we have.
We settled the Cheryl Taylor White Magna case.
Which was the one outside the library at South Bank with the car on the board.
Yes, it was there, we got on the case, she wasn't there, the car wasn't there, case solved. She was drunk.
Case solved, and we followed it all the way out to a caravan park.
What else have we solved this year, the Big Breakfast
Crime Squad?
We are
still hunting down the... Runcorn Tavern 3, which we believe may be Luke, Libby and Dobbo.
Well, they weren't happy about that yesterday. They had a bit of a crack at us on air because we then also accused them of being the office thieves and they got onto that too.
Oh, we solved the office theft thing too.
Oh, okay.
Runcorn business, that's not a cold case.
Who was the office thief?
Oh, well, I can't say it on air.
Well, you did yesterday. Is it the tall guy from sales?
It's the tall fella. Tall guy from sales. Geez, didn't my head go down when I saw him too yesterday? I was leaving the building and I looked straight at him. I go, I wonder if he listens to us in the morning because he's the only tall guy.
Yeah, no, he's way too cool.
Did you go submissive like somebody who'd just been put in prison?
Yeah.
Just drop your eyes.
Oh, yeah. because we make these claims, but we do make claims. But last night, I think you probably saw it on the news, didn't you? Yeah, I don't want to take too much credit for what's gone on, but in the last 18 months or so, there's been a lot of those bandits coming through ceilings. There's been a gang coming through ceilings, dropping into ATM rooms, and it stumped the police until they got the Big Breakfast Crime Squad, and they said, would you mind having a look at this case? Here's some of, they just dropped the dossier on our table, and what did we do? Went to work, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
The Big Breakfast's Crime Squad.
Investigating a year-long spate of ATM robberies across the southeast have made a major breakthrough.
The Crime Squad has
charged two men over the heists straight after another burglary.
The Crime Squad
spot their targets. One thief runs.
Robin lets loose the dog.
Months of
Crime Squad work.
All leading to this.
Get on the ground!
Two men arrested, British national Kieran James Leonard, while his accused accomplice, 38-year-old Stephen Dunn, an Irishman, is in hospital.
Another case solved by the Big Breakfast's Crime Squad.
Huge bust.
It's okay.
Look, well done, mate.
Big the Government House to receive our medals soon.
You're a couple of good kids, Bailey and Martin, but I'm going to kick your asses.
If Robin, if you've gone to, we're talking fuel. Now, do you reckon, do you believe our fuel is 12 cents higher than Sydney, they reckon? About $1.50, are you
it
happy
with? It
used
to be 12 cents lower, but then the government stopped subsidising it. But yes, okay, I'll go with that.
Moon, you're involved there. Now, Robin, you drive a what?
CX-9, Mazda CX-9.
You just looked it up. What's her fuel
no,
tank?
No, no, no. How did you start this conversation? You said, Robin, how big's your fuel
I said,
tank?
No, I wanted to talk about fuel, and I said, "How much have you ever hit $100? And you said, yes. And then I said, how much fuel, what's your tank capacity?
And I said, is that a trick question, as if I'd know?
Yeah. No, the look on your face when Marto said, what's your tank capacity, was like he'd said, take your clothes off. He went, what?
Anyway.
Like it was an offensive question. Never ask me about specifications ever again, Marto.
Have you ever opened up the little handbook in the glove box?
Never.
No.
It's still in the plastic. Yes. Smells like
but
brand
I can
new.
Tell you seven different ways to wear a bra, but right. I can't tell you how the car
I'll
works.
Give you a little bit defense.
Seven?
Wow.
Wow.
Is any of them on your head?
Only if you're pissed.
All right. I don't want to talk about
one of his shoes.
Oh God, that's too good. I don't want to talk anymore.
What would you like? Cheap fuel?
No, you would. Do you want to get people?
No, I was going to talk about fuel because yesterday I reckon I found the cheapest fuel in Brisbane. Oh. Full stop. No, if you got anything else that around $1.30, ring and tell us because everyone else needs to know. Otherwise, I'm going to tell you a story on how a lot of places should be $1.30. So if you know any that right now are $1.30, ring and tell everyone else. Got to tell you where the good stuff is.
All right, 133353 is that number. Calls after this. Day past six on Triple M, the Big Breakfast. Put your bra back on, Robin. For God's
sake.
Do you ever use it to have a nap in the daytime?
You can.
Over your eyes?
You absolutely can, particularly if it's...
Good old eye mask. Big Breakfast.
Need the padded ones though, mate.
Triple
M. The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
It's about the little girl out at Jimboomba State School. Her name is Alyssa Jade Langdon. Now, for those that missed it, basically the story runs that she was on a school bus and that school bus stopped at her stop. Apparently, her mother claimed she was waiting to be picked up. The little girl didn't get off the bus. The police weren't called. And basically, they then found her at about 7 o'clock because she was in a depot in a locked bus.
What
and
happened?
She was
did it
banging
clean?
On the
was
walls.
It cleaner going around to clean the buses and that's who located her? Is
well,
that how it happened?
They heard the screaming. Like she was, I mean, so let's put in perspective. A five-year-old girl would have been
first
beside
day, grade
herself.
One.
Yeah, first day, grade one. She's fallen asleep on the bus.
Mm, big day.
Now, the mum, whose name is Bobby, is coming out
Bobby.
And has been coming out swinging and saying things like this on the news.
This shouldn't happen to any family. As each hour went past, it got tougher.
But as the story started to unfold, people were then claiming that the mum actually wasn't waiting and it wasn't as simple as all of that. So then she felt she needed to defend herself about a child that age catching the bus.
She caught the bus all of last year. She never had a problem with it.
When she was four.
Yeah, apparently.
To prep. She was a little preppy. Well, I suppose I'm always encouraging people to get into it. I reckon I caught a bus when I was five.
Well,
Bobby sounds kind of like, you know, that she's lucid and sober.
Well, then who's
to blame?
Bus
drivers.
Why does somebody have to be to blame? Maybe tweak your processes. Why don't kid in grade one has to sit in the front seat?
If you want to tweak your processes, how do you tweak them? And
maybe search the bus. But righto, don't stand the bus driver down. Just go, hey, Leo, mate, end there, just walk down the back, have a bit of a look from now on.
Let's take Bobby at her word that she's waiting at a bus stop. Mm. The bus pulls up. Mm. She can't see the child. I would definitely be up those steps saying, have you seen...
my little girl.
Yeah, Alyssa somewhere.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Is the bus driver, like I'm saying, leave the bus driver. He's got a big job to do. He's got kids. You remember how you used to catch bus when you were a kid, how you played up on the bus? You're a pain in the ass, the whole lot of them. And he's just doing his job and he maybe forgot to check the back of the bus.
Our bus driver, if you were the last one on, wouldn't stop at the last stop. He'd take you to your front door.
Oh. Okay, Dave of Redland Bay, a lot of people saying it's the bus driver's fault. He has been stood down. What do you think?
Absolutely, mate. When I was driving buses, Robin, we had to sweep the bus out at the end of the day and check it over. But where was the mother at the bus stop?
No, well, that's also come up a lot. So you're telling me that part of your duties was that you actually had to go through and clean it?
Absolutely. Now, when we had the days with the back doors, you could open both doors as you're driving along and it would sweep itself out.
You'd use an air blower these days anyway, Dave.
Yeah, but you're still going to walk down the back of the bus.
Right, so
Dave, if you found a child, would you just put them in lost property or call the parents?
No, I did have a child lost once, and I radioed the boss. In those days, we had two ways, not phones, and I took her home.
Oh, okay, so the child was actually on the bus. But do you therefore think that there is a little bit of responsibility to the bus driver?
Oh, absolutely, 80%, no question about it.
Oh, 80, right. Okay. 80 to the bus, 20 to the mother, fair enough. Oi. Kerry of Nunda, what do you reckon? Is it the bus driver's fault?
No, I don't think so, although I agree that, do a walkthrough at the end of your shift. That's probably best practice. But I was reading on social media this morning that the bus driver had a list of four children that he had to collect. He got off the bus, collected those children, and that's when this little girl got onto the bus. And so he wasn't even aware that she was on the bus at all.
Yeah, there was some talk about the fact she snuck on, but because that teacher wasn't there to say,
the bus driver wasn't actually on the bus when she got on.
Maybe the mum didn't fill out the form the week before.
Probably.
To apply
but as
for that bus.
5-year old. You just, you're told to get on a bus turns up, you just get on it, don't you?
Yeah,
that's true.
A bus is a bus. It seems like a series of unfortunate incidents.
It is an absolute cluster, this one. Emma of Kippering.
A cluster.
I'm going no further, people. Emma of Kippering, what do you think? Is it the bus driver's fault?
Absolutely not. Look, he should take a little bit of responsibility for it, but without knowing the whole story, no.
So,
not at all.
Okay, why? What do you think the driver's responsibility is then?
Well, he's got a job to do, and that's to get the children on the bus and off the bus. Now, if he didn't know the kid was on the bus, how is it his fault? And I'm sorry, a prep for a year one child, first day, to get on a bus on their own, not good. That is not cool in anyone's language.
I've got a
12-year-old son that still doesn't catch a bus.
Yeah, that's a boy,
so
though.
So you're blaming mum, Emma?
Yeah, I am,
Bobby?
Actually. I am. I mean,
Bobby!
7 o'clock? 7 o'clock. Yeah. 7 o'clock. Well, what time did the bus rock up? What time was she at the bus stop?
There are a lot of unanswered questions.
Thank you, Emma. I like your sense.
And interestingly enough, old Bobby's come off social media because she has been getting hammered. It would be true.
Don't call her old Bobby. She's got a lawyer involved, mate, and you'll be in strife for that one.
That is true. Well,
pretty young.
A lot of people blaming Bobby, actually, on 133353. 90% say it's not the bus driver's fault.
Okay, fair enough.
So there you go.
Yeah, and you could say that bus drivers are not babysitters, per se.
Exactly.
They're bus drivers.
90% of people have. Triple M is the big breakfast.
Australia.
The big breakfast.
Australia.
On Australian of the Year Awards.
Oh, yeah. Well, Australia Day's on Friday. Everyone talks about the wonderful Australians and how they make our country proud. But here at Triple M, we were kind of making our own list of perhaps the un-Australian people leading into Australia Day. Mm-hmm. We've done a number of, we've done sports people. But today we're going to go the media moon man.
Yeah, that's right. So far it's sports people and foodies. But there's so many un-Australian media personalities, it's burgeoning. I think it's going to be one of the biggest categories. Let's kick off with a man that taught us how to compost and really
wear poor jumpers.
Yeah, and really take care of our perennials and how to handle a bulb. Then it all came tumbling down. Don Burke.
Yes.
Burke.
No one's going to argue with that ever.
He's disgraced himself. And I can't go out of the shed anymore without shedding a tear. McLockers, he's thrown the Rocky Horror Show into a disarray. Of course, all the charges against him are alleged or
he's going to fight these charges.
And he is. He's actually suing the ABC and Fairfax for defamation. So we can't say any more about it.
Except, though, what I will say is Rocky Horror is in Brisbane at the moment. And the understudy guy, who I wish I'd remembered his name, he's gone on stage and, you know, big, big pressure and big shoes to fill.
A lot of pressure.
Brisbane gave him a standing ovation.
Oh, good on you, Bris.
See? Rennie. There you go.
Adam Rennie.
I believe.
Something like that.
Yeah. He is, he's cutting up the rug. So well done to him. I mean, they're all grubs, really.
who else
have you got
there? Who else is on your list?
Ben McCormack from ACA.
Oh, gee whiz.
He was one of the classic foot in the door kind of guys, chasing people who hadn't finished painting old ladies' houses or digging pools or whatever. Turns out his internet history wasn't flash.
No. And he made his name on the Hey Dad case. Remember, that's how he went overseas
Did he really?
Yes. And knocked on Robbie Hughes' window.
Yeah, knocked on his window, brought the whole thing to ACA. You could put in, you know, Robert
and then he
Hughes.
Was looking at the wrong things on the internet.
Yeah.
God.
There you go.
Anyone else? Wrong with people. Yeah, I've got to say hoax.
I'm with you on this.
Yeah, for the Crocodile Dundee sequel, there's already been a sequel, Crocodile Dundee 2, and they can't call it a Crocodile Dundee sequel. It's going further along. It's like, you know.
Yeah, but there's a Hemsworth in it. They can call it whatever they like.
Okay, well.
Put a Hemsworth.
No, I've got to say hoax. Also, you know.
Is Hemsworth un-Australian?
No. What do you mean is Hemsworth un-Australian?
Doesn't spend a lot of time here.
Well, yeah,
but you've got to go overseas to work.
That's un-Australian.
Yeah. No, it's
not. But he's
not.
A boy from Phillip Island down in Victoria. He's good to his mum and takes care of his brothers, Liam, Chris, and the other one.
Luke.
No one knows.
Luke. I mean, how many films are made in Byron Bay? Like, seriously. That's where he lives. He's got to go overseas.
Most of the films are made in Byron Bay. It's just behind closed doors on an iPhone 6. But
that's the media list, I reckon. We got Don Burke, Craig McLaughlin, Ben McCormack, and how would Paul Hogan feel being in that company? My goodness.
Yeah.
Poor fella. Oh, no. It's 20 past 8.
Yeah, well, we're not going to bring the nominees together to meet one another.
No, it's not a real ceremony.
The Big Breakfasts. Sports all in.
Anyone watching the tennis or is it only me?
Oh, I got a bit excited when I saw the physio bending down and helping old Rafa. And then he had to, you know, pull out injured. But ooh.
What was the physio doing?
Well, he was stretching his leg and getting into the groin area.
Getting into the groin, into the pubis.
Well, yes.
Do you reckon Rafa looked a bit funny with all his pink gear on? He looked like that.
Why is he wearing pink? Has anyone worked that out?
I think it's part of, you know, whatever your sponsor or brand decide you're going to wear. They might give you a range, but they're all wearing pink. Maybe it's the fashion this year.
Well, it's neon pink, so it's flashback to the 80s. But anyway, he's out, sadly.
God, there's been a lot of upsets, like Djokovic gone, now Nadal, also that Dimitrov. I remember when he's the one that beat Kyrgios the other night. He got dusted, okay, Kyrgios, and then he said, oh, I think he'll win the tournament. I love that when blokes think, oh, the bloke who beat me is so good, he'll win. He was knocked out next round by a pommy.
And Venus got knocked out in the first round?
Yeah, a lot of them are gone.
Now, when Nadal, he didn't get beaten. He actually retired injured in the fifth set. So he won the first set, lost the second. Won the third and then the fourth.
No, lost the third, won the fourth.
He was limping around.
Hold on.
He was limping around. It was two games all in the fifth, and he went to the umpire and the match referee, shook hands with his opponent, and pulled out. Then in a press interview afterwards or in the press conference, he alluded that the programming wasn't that great and that he'd been a victim of it.
What does that mean? He's been forced to play too much too quickly.
Well, that's what I wondered. It's like, well,
you've got to play every second day. They're whinging because they're not used to playing five sets, but they're getting paid for losing that match yesterday.
How much?
$250,000.
All right. Well, this is what Nadal had to say.
I don't want to complain because it happened to me more than others. Because on the other hand, I was winning more than almost everyone. So that's the real thing. So, but. Who knows?
Yeah, lose.
If I didn't have all these injuries.
Yeah, lose, mate. And then you don't have to. There you go.
The thing is, if you are going to complain, if you do it in an accent like that, sounds kind of cute, you know. Yeah. I had an injury in my groin, and it is hurting. So I got somebody to touch it. It felt nice. That was okay. But I didn't fix it. But he had a cold cowl on my groin. That's good for me. Okay, thank you. So I'm allowed to do a Spanish accent and not get yellow carded.
Isn't that funny?
We were
doing Indian and all of a sudden everyone's in.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't even mention Indian accents.
Actually, Asian accents? Can we get a list of the things you're not allowed to do?
Can I say, when I started as a journo way back when, I'm talking when I was 20 and I turned 50 this year, we used to have a list up on the newsroom wall of what one white Australian equaled. And this is so politically incorrect, but it's actually so true. So when you were reporting on news, so certain countries, say Bangladesh or some of those kind of Ethiopia, those sort of ones, you'd have to equate. So one Australian.
What a disaster.
Yeah, equals 2,000 Ethiopians, and then you'd report on it. Isn't that awful?
So it had to be a 30-person Bangladeshi bus crash before it would get a mention.
Exactly right.
Whoa. I remember an exact example of that, and that was when the Qantas jumbo jet slid off the end of the runway in Bangkok some years ago,
QF1.
And one Australian passenger was injured, and that story pushed 17,000 killed in a mudslide in Bangladesh
there
off
you go.
The front page.
Wow. There you go. It's the reality.
And that's your sports all in.
Hey, listen, I was telling you about our son. We haven't seen him since we were in Hawaii, so he's had a 5-month.
He's had a great time. And look, I mean, as I said, my kids, particularly my youngest, who's completely infatuated with Harry, is just every day he's like, Mom, Harry's got another ski video on Instagram.
Oh, he wrecked surfboard. I mean, my bloke's a bit of a.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he's a wild-ish man.
I've been following him on Insta as well, remember doing silly salmons
off
a car bonnet into the snow.
Yes. All right.
Well, that's Harry.
He's been over there for a while. And I haven't mentioned this, but he applied for a work visa, and because he ticked the wrong box, he ticked that he wanted to work in children. In 5 months away, his visa never came through. His sister's been working in Canada, and he's been borrowing money from her
to live
a life as a snow bum and just snowboarding. Apparently, he's really, really good at snowboarding. Anyway. He had to come home. He's finally run out of money and she's had a gutful of him. So sent him home. It started on Sunday afternoon. He apparently got off the snow, went to dinner, had a few drinks, hopped on a bus at 1 a.m., all right, to catch a bus to the other side of Canada, to Toronto. That took 5 or 6 hours. He then hopped on a plane at Toronto. Had to wait a while there, hopped on a plane from Toronto to LA, then waited 12 hours at LA Airport. So he's travelled all the way across Canada and America, waited 12 hours at LA Airport, and then flew 14-hour home, arrived home yesterday. It was 2-hour delayed into Brisbane, arrived home.
Right.
Extremely smelly. Kath said he'd had the same socks on for 7 days. So he hopped straight off.
Seven days? That's a choice. That means he had them on for 5 days before he got on the plane. That is not okay.
We can safely assume the underpants have been going for 3 or 4. Kath said it was unbelievable. She was so happy to see him and then reeled away at the airport at Rivals yesterday when she smelled.
Did he actually sit next to someone on a plane?
That's what Kath said. A really good-looking American chick. And Kath said, did you explain your smell? He said, what? Smell.
Oh dear. Just, so he came out alone.
All right, anyway. So he's home. 44
some
hours.
Some girls do like the smoky bacon though, don't they?
Okay, no.
That is so true. The modern girls, a lot of them
anyway,
like a bit of stink.
Let's get back to the fact.
I love the stink.
Stop
easy,
it.
Easy talk.
Let's get back to the all fact right, oh, that the he ended of, up with no money.
Right, yeah. So he must have gone to this bar. He lost 5 cards while he was away, these cash travel passport cards. You know, they're a thing.
He's a teenage boy, of course.
Yeah. 5. I sent 2 more over with his sister and he lost them on the last day. He was using hers and that was the final one he lost. So when he went to have a drink on the last night, dinner and stuff, they had some dinner and a couple of drinks. He hopped on the bus at 1 a.m. All right. So from there to Australia, he didn't have a card and he didn't have a cent on him. He had a charger and a phone.
And
it was
for almost 48 hours.
48 hours
cashless and cardless.
He got from the other side of Canada in the mountains to Australia yesterday without 1 cent and without a card.
So how did he do for food?
He was begging for food at the Taco Bell. He was trying to find Australians because they might buy it and just... He ended up begging for food at Taco Bell at the airport at LA. He hadn't eaten at that stage for more than 24 hours.
So like Blanche Dubois from Streetcar Called Desire, he was dependent on the kindness of strangers.
He was. Wow. I don't think he had to do any... Did she have to do any things?
Yeah, I think so. He didn't give away sexual favours, is what you're saying.
No, yeah. I haven't seen Streetcar Named Desire. I don't know that
Congratulations
one.
Congratulations to the very first reference of Streetcar Named Desire on Triple M. Well done.
Yes, it went over my head, but obviously. Harry, I don't believe Harry did that, but he got home. I just wanted to know, like, if you go through life, he's gone through a long, like 18,000 kilometres and 48 hours with not a cracker or a card.
That makes me feel better that my teenage son has a chance of survival, because when push comes to shove,
you'd survive.
You'll survive. And the fact that he found, they really are, that he found someone to feed him and, you know, is come home happy is awesome. But it'd be worth hearing other people's stories. Have you survived how long without cash and what happened?
How did you survive? Because then when he got home, Cocoa Pops and a stubby of Great Northern. He's come a long way.
What a meal.
I sent him away. Boy, he's come home a man.
Getting to know Moon. Getting to know all about Moon.
Just joined the show and we're learning a little bit more about you every day, Moon.
I like to test humanity. I like to put little tests out there just to see how the people on the street will respond.
Uh-oh.
And recently, I've started a little game I'm calling Tradie Ball, because my street, like any other street throughout Brisbane and Australia, there's renovations constantly. Mm. Everybody's street is a work site.
So there's,
you know, that's right, got to keep up. So by, you know, what time do tradies start?
7 a.m. in the suburbs. Yeah. So they normally get there about 20 to 7 to unload and get ready, and you can start making noise at 7 in the suburbs.
Yeah, so from 6:30 till 3:30, there's, you know, four-wheel drives with their big metal cabinets on the back. Now, the other day, I was cleaning out the back garden. There's so many toys in the sand pit. There's balls everywhere. And Maggie had this ball that had Elmo on with a little goggles and a snorkel.
Because Maggie's five?
Maggie is turning five next month. Yeah, Maggie's 33.
Have you got a swimming pool?
Time to let the Elmo ball go.
You haven't got a swimming pool.
She had a blow-up swimming pool in the back garden that I kept changing the water over a summer, and then eventually, do you know how I got rid of that swimming pool? I went and stabbed it one night and put it in the bin.
I bet.
Anyway, so I'm cleaning up the back garden, and I've got the Elmo ball, and it's a bit manky on one side, it's a bit dirty, and I see one of the tradies' utes just parked right out the front of my joint, so I threw the ball into the back of the ute, just as a bit of a joke, and so put the bins out. Anyway, come home later that afternoon, the ball's back over the fence. So the tradie's been putting his tools away, seen the ball and gone, kid's throwing it over the fence. Yeah. Poor little kid. So now, every time I put the bins out, I look for a tradie's ute to see how many times the ball can be returned.
And?
They're
what's
such
happened?
good people. They're aware. They see a ball, they go, some poor little kid. And so every time I see that ball back in the back garden, it restores my faith in human nature. I go, what a good person.
Well, okay, here's my question right to you, Marto. If it was a Reds ball or a Broncos ball, would it be returned? Is it the fact that it's an Elmo?
I'll give you one. When you just have a bin on side, okay, if you've got a mini skip bin, et cetera, over the weekend, because you're not there, people throw their rubbish in your bin, including prawns. Should I drop that back over your fence? Is that a good idea? People used to always drop their smelliest rubbish in my bin, in tradies' bin.
Oh, that's no good.
Well, that's maybe like you throwing things in tradies' utes.
I should up the value of it to really test.
Yeah, go on. Do like a, I mean, what would be a like a AFL ball or a Broncos ball? Or I'd love to see if that gets returned. It won't get returned. Yeah.
No, I'll just keep going with the Elmo ball because it's fun.
Try with a carton of beer, I bet you, that it doesn't come back.
Maybe you could write messages on it, like in marker, and, you know, see if people
back
read.
To front E's, like a child. Dear Mr. Tradie, my mum's lonely.